Now, I'm going to need your help today. It's a family service. There's going to be some actions in there. But first of all, I've got a question. Can anybody tell me what this is?
That's a flashlight.
A flashlight. Someone's been watching American programs. A flashlight.
I've read a book.
Oh, okay. So, everyone knows that you use this to make pancakes.
No. To shine the light of God.
To shine the light of God. Okay. I don't need to do the children's talk now, but there we go. So, what does a flashlight do if it doesn't make pancakes?
It shows the light.
It shows you light. Why do we need the light? Now, I know you thought it was dark in here. It's almost like that was deliberate that we kept the lights off. Almost. But we weren't that organised. I'm not going to kid you. Do we need a torch on a bright sunny day?
Yes.
Why?
Because we already got one.
Because you've already got one?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, if you were walking down the street now, you would have a torch out?
No, you've got the torch in the sky.
Got a torch in the sky. Yes, it does look like it's a torch in the sky. Yes. I would agree with that. Realistically, ladies and gentlemen, do you need a torch on a bright, shiny day?
No.
Do you need a torch if you are sitting out having a picnic on a bright, sunny afternoon?
Depends.
Okay.
Depends what time of year it is. Because you don't know if it can
drop. You're right. If it was deep midwinter, the shortest day of the year, and you decide you're going to sit outside on the wet ground, you might want a torch so that you can see if you put your sandwich down, you don't put it in the puddle. I'll agree with that. Because some people could have that problem. When do we need a light?
Nighttime.
Why do we need a light at nighttime?
Because it's dark.
It's dark.
Don't need the light at night time. We've got the moonlight.
Okay.
Stars.
But what happens if it's a night when it's foggy and you can't see the moon?
Eat carrots.
Okay. You can always rely on children. You know, when it's dark, if you want to see where you're going, you eat a tin of carrots. Yeah? Or is it fresh carrots?
Fresh carrots.
Fresh carrots. Do you wash them first?
Yes.
Okay. Do you peel them?
No.
Why not?
It tastes better without
peeling. All the nutrients are in the skin of the carrot, and if you peel it, it's like you're wasting all the good bits.
Yeah. A bit like the crust on bread.
Yes. My nan used to say that you have to eat the bread crusts because when you're older, you'll get hair on your chest. No, I won't say that. So, bread crusts, you're saying they're important?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they give you energy.
They give you energy? Okay. And they don't?
Make you bald.
They don't make you bald? Oh, okay. So, are you suggesting that Pastor Dave Redbond didn't eat a lot of bread? Or what about Lloyd, our senior minister? He must eat even less bread than Dave does. This is the way that children's minds work in the 21st century, ladies and gentlemen, just in case you're wondering. You know, the moment you switch on a light, everything changes. And it's not because the darkness has suddenly moved to another town or packed a suitcase and gone on holiday. When the light arrives, the light means the darkness has to give way. And today we're going to think about something that Jesus said about the light in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to eternal life." Now, Jesus says something here that's absolutely amazing. He says, "I am the light of the world." But notice what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say, "I've got a light." He doesn't say, "I know where I can buy a really good light." He doesn't even say, "I can tell you about the light." He says, "I am the light." We've been going through a series of preaching this year called Discipleship Following Jesus. And we've been thinking about many aspects of discipleship, but today we're going to think about Jesus as our lighthouse. And I have three simple points. Look to Jesus, trust Jesus, and follow Jesus. First point, look to Jesus because he shows us the way. Has anyone ever been lost?
Never.
Oh gosh, we've got men in the room admitting to the fact that they've been lost. See, men don't normally admit that we're lost. Men will drive round and round for hours pretending that we know where we're going just because we don't want to ask our wives, can you look up on the map that we're in the right place?
Well, if you don't have a sat-nav.
If you don't have a sat-nav. You see, years before sat-nav was invented, God gave men something far better than sat-nav. And it's called sat-nag. Yeah? Because you get someone sitting next to you that you should have turned right back there. Oh, no, you're going too fast. You're going too slow. Why didn't you park there? And it's called a sat-nag because it keeps you awake while you're driving.
Is that the same as sat-nav?
It's not the same as sat-nav, no, because sat-nav is created by signals that come down from a satellite. Right. Whereas a sat-nag always knows the right way to get somewhere. And it's always different from the way that you're going.
What does sat-nav don't know anywhere?
Well, sat-navs normally go somewhere. So we've all been lost at some stage. Has anyone ever been lost in the supermarket? No. Lost in the theme park? Did you go to a theme park and you thought you were queuing up for a ride and you were actually, you joined the queue for something completely different? No. Hello. Feel free to sit wherever you want. Yeah, you can go over there if you want.
I think it's an urban
sale. Like. Have you ever set out on a journey and thought that you knew exactly where you were going and ended up somewhere different? So it's not just me. Have you ever been driving down the road and feel like that you've gone past the same roundabout three or four times?
Yeah,
because sometimes we just don't know which way to go. I recently went to, a few years ago, I had to go to a church at Pitsea, and I thought I knew exactly where to go from the roundabout. There's a weird roundabout on the A13 where you've got lots of little roundabouts around it. It doesn't make any sense at all. And my sat-nav was telling me, go straight ahead. And if I'd gone straight ahead, that means I would have driven over the grass roundabout, which you're not supposed to do. So I knew to actually ignore what my sat-nav was saying and just rely on common sense. Have you ever seen a lighthouse? Yes. No, maybe.
Yes.
You've seen one?
Yes, because there's one behind you.
Wow. Every comedian needs a straight man. I'm not sure which way round this relationship works. Lighthouses are important. Years ago, before GPS, before sat-navs or sat-nags, sailors depended on lighthouses. And whether it was dark, whether the weather was bad, if they couldn't see the coastline, they looked for the light. And the lighthouse showed them where the danger was. It warned them. And it helped them to decide which direction to travel in. Now, when Jesus says, if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, the word that Jesus uses for follow, it carries the idea of going with someone as their disciple, walking together. Jesus isn't saying to us, look at me occasionally. He's not saying, think of me at Christmas and Easter. Jesus is telling us to follow him all the time. If I said to you, follow me, what would you have to do?
Follow.
Always?
Sometimes. If
I was going to a junkyard, no. Okay. I'm human. I don't get things right all the time. And if I was to ask you to follow me and I did something that was wrong, it wouldn't be right for you to follow me. Jesus never did anything wrong, and he calls us to follow him. Now, I may say, follow me, and I walk this way, and I can see that you all responded dramatically to that and walk that way. That worked perfectly. If I stop, you already stopped, so there's no difference, is there? If I turn around, then maybe I'll get more response from the wall than I get from the congregation. I don't know. I hope not. Following Jesus is the most important thing we can do. We listen to his words. We learn from him. We trust him. And we have to allow him to show us how to live. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." Sometimes we want God to show us the whole journey even before we begin it. We want God to tell us what's going to happen next year. To what's going to happen in 5 years. We want to know how everything is going to work out. If I had a torch or a lamp and I was walking on a journey, would a torch be able to show me what was happening 5 miles away?
No.
No. What does the torch show me?
My feet.
My feet and the next step. The next bit that I'm going to walk on. The next place I'm going to go. And sometimes that's how Jesus leads us. He leads us just one step at a time. So when we don't know what to do, we must look to Jesus. How do we do that? We read his word. We talk to him in prayer. We pray and ask, Jesus, where do you want me to go? And Jesus, as our lighthouse, shows us the way. Second point, trust Jesus. He is with us in the storm. Now, I need everyone's help to make the sounds of a storm. Children, can you help me make the sounds of a storm? What I want you to do is start by, and adults, you can join in as well. Start by rubbing your hands together. That's the sound of the wind. That's the wind beginning. Make your hands hot. Okay, now then, let's click our fingers. That's the sound of the rain starting. Now the rain's getting heavier, so pat your knees. Okay. Now the rain's getting even heavier, so you have to stamp your feet.
You're even louder
because
you've got the wipe.
You know, Andrew asked them that we pray for rain, and it's raining, and she's not even in here. Right, and it's getting louder, it's a storm. And then Jesus says, stop. And suddenly it's quiet. And it's still. And Andrea missed all of that. Maybe we'll repeat it for when she comes back in.
Doing it again.
You're not doing it again. The Bible tells us about a day when Jesus' disciples were caught in a real storm. Mark 4, 37 and 38 says, "But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. And Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion." Can you imagine it? The wind is howling, the waves, they're crashing, the boat is filling with water, and the disciples are worried, and Jesus is sleeping. Notice the detail that Mark puts in here. He was sleeping with his head on a cushion. He was comfortable. When everyone else was struggling, Jesus was peaceful. And the disciples, they go and wake him up. Jesus stands and speaks to the storm. When Jesus woke up, Mark 4:39 says, "When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Silence, be still.' And suddenly the wind stopped and there was great calm." Now here's something really important. Following Jesus doesn't mean that you'll never be in a storm. Sometimes people think, if I become a Christian, nothing will ever happen in my life that's difficult. But Jesus never promised that to anyone. Christians face difficult days. We face worries. We can experience disappointment. We can become frightened about the situations that we're in. And sometimes things happen that we just don't understand. Now, the amazing thing about a lighthouse is the lighthouse does not stop the storm, but the lighthouse keeps shining through the storm. The wind will blow, the waves will crash, the rain will continue to fall, but the light keeps shining, and Jesus is faithful. I have a feeling that we should really do some more rain for Andrea, so let's start that again. With the wind blowing. And then the rain starts. And it gets louder. And heavier. And Jesus says,
stop.
Be still. Jesus is faithful. The light of Jesus continues to shine in every situation that we can come into. Psalm 27 verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid?" Friends, this is a verse for adults, not just for kids. Often it feels like we're walking in the darkness. It feels like there's this terrible storm crashing down around us. It feels like we are on a boat that is being rocked from side to side. But we have no need to be afraid because Jesus is with us. There's a wonderful story about a boat, and the passengers on the boat were really frightened because there was a storm going on. It wasn't the Titanic, this is a different story. But there was one little boy on that boat. And no matter how the boat was being shaken by the waves, this little boy remained completely calm. And someone went up to him and said, "Aren't you frightened?" And the boy said, "No." "Well, why not?" And the boy said, "Because my father is the captain of this ship." The storm was real, the waves were real, the danger was real, but this little boy knew who was in charge of the ship and trusted him completely. Church, we're not always going to understand the storm, but we can understand and trust in the one who is with us in that storm. It is God. He is the one who is with us. Jesus is with us. Jesus is our Lord. So when everything feels stormy, trust Jesus. The lighthouse is still shining. Third point, follow Jesus, he leads us home. Now, what's the purpose of a lighthouse? Is it simply to look pretty?
No.
Is it so that people can stand in front of it with a weird expression on their face and take pictures for Instagram?
No.
No. Okay. I thought that's what every Gen Zer did in the modern world.
It's the guide ships from danger.
It's the guide ships from danger. So it's not a photo opportunity for someone.
No.
Okay.
Even though it's like what cameras do show that it's
not that bad. So a lighthouse has a bigger purpose than just being in the photograph.
Yeah.
Okay. So it helps ships find their way. It warns of danger. It points people towards safe waters. A lighthouse helps people to get home safely. And it helps them to do many things. And this is where the message of Jesus becomes even more important. The Bible says that humanity is lost. The Bible tells us that that's not because God has moved. It's not because God's gone on holiday. It's because we have wandered away from God. Our wandering away from God, the Bible calls sin. And sin isn't just about doing something naughty. It's not about pulling your sister's hair. Or I'm trying to think of some of the things that I did at school to, not necessarily I did, but other people did to the teachers, putting drawing pins on their chairs. What was the worst thing that a child did to you when you were at school?
Oh gosh, there's so many.
There's so many. Just pick one that jumps into your mind.
When they actually, one of them decided it was funny to put a whoopee cushion underneath.
Oh, yes.
So I sat down.
A whoopee cushion under your chair. Okay. You obviously went to a school that was far more safe than the school that I went to. In my school, the kids used to do things like pour chemicals from the chemistry lab out the windows at people walking past. Mm. And many other things that I can't talk about in polite company.
I did once see a child, not in my class, in another class, there was a lot of noise.
Mm.
So I went out and left my class, they were doing something. Went next door to find a child had the staple gun and was firing staples at the teacher.
Oh, okay.
And all he said was, "Oh no, stop it." And Tina went, "Stop now."
Stop now. And it stopped. So the word of command was issued and the situation changed. Sin is saying, God I don't want to do it your way, I want to do it my way. Isaiah reminds us in Isaiah 53:6 that all of us like sheep have strayed away. We've left God's paths to follow our own. All of us have wandered. Children, adults, pastors, everyone has wandered. But the wonderful news of the gospel is that even when we wandered, Jesus came looking for us. Jesus is the light of the world. He stepped into our darkness. He lived the perfect life that we could never live. He died on the cross. And on the cross, Jesus took the punishment for our sin. He was buried and 3 days later he rose. And because Jesus is alive today, he offers forgiveness and new life to everyone that trusts in him. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." And again, notice what Jesus says. He doesn't say, "I know the way." He doesn't say, "I am a way." He says he is the way. The lighthouse isn't simply pointing to salvation. Jesus is our salvation. Our lighthouse isn't simply pointing towards hope. Jesus is our hope. Our lighthouse doesn't simply point us towards life. Jesus is our life. So three things to remember. Can we remember three things? Bread, milk, sausages. No. Can we remember three things? The first thing to remember is look to Jesus. Can we say that? Look to Jesus. When life gets in the way, when we don't know which way to go, we look to Jesus. When life feels stormy, that's when we trust Jesus. Can we say trust Jesus?
Trust Jesus.
Yeah, you've done this before.
Follow Jesus.
And the next one is follow Jesus. Yes. Let's say all three together. Look to Jesus, trust Jesus, follow Jesus. Maybe today you feel a little bit lost. Maybe you're facing a storm. Maybe you've realised that you've been trying to live life your way. Well, Jesus is still our lighthouse. He's still shining. Jesus is still calling us to safety. Jesus is still saying, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you'll have light that leads to life." Friends, today, commit yourself to Jesus. Turn away from anything that is pulling you away from our Lord. Let's love him. Let's trust him. Let's follow him. He is our lighthouse. So look, trust and follow, because Jesus is the light of the world. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you that you love us so much. We thank you that you're willing to send your son on a rescue mission to save us. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to always look to you, that you would be the light in our darkness, that you would be our strength when we are weak, that you will be the one who carries us home, safe to shore. Lord, we love you, we trust you, and we entrust ourselves to you. Help us this week to honour you and to tell others about you. In Jesus' name, amen.